Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Anima Holding First Half 2020 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Melzi d'Eril, CEO of Anima Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello to everybody. Hi to everybody. Thank you for attending our H1 2020 conference call. Sorry for the delay, but this is a very busy day with many other conference calls. We're trying to find the right timing. I would start with our presentation, page four, with the highlights of this first semester 2020. We reached, at the end of the semester, 183.4 billion of assets, -1% if compared to end of 2019. Net new money in the 6 months, +600 million euros approximately, excluding Class 1 mandates. I would like to highlight that we delivered in this semester solid results within a relevant uncertainty and with high volatility of the context of the markets. The cost control to enhance our operating leverage continued to be very high and demonstrated also in this period. High cash flow generation with a positive outlook for the rest of the year in order to provide interesting return for our shareholders and still remaining one of the most important player to play the M&A card in Italy and potentially also in Europe. Total revenues, going to numbers. Total revenues +14% year-on-year. EBITDA +20%, reaching almost 145 million euros. Net income +15%. Following page five, AUM evolution. In the semester, we registered, as I mentioned before, almost 600 million euros of net new money, made by 1.4 billion of net new money on the institutional side, minus 800 million euros on the retail side. Market effect, negative by 3.3 billion of assets, but recovering strongly from the beginning of March. Class 1 mandates, almost +500 million euros approximately in terms of AUM change. Page six, the business by segment. As usual, 28% of the assets comes from the retail, 52 billion of assets, 72 from the institutional. I would like just to highlight the share of our strategic partners, BAMI, BMPS, and Creval, out of the retail business, 88% of the total. Page seven, investment performance. We are pretty happy of the performance delivered in the semester. It wasn't easy, as the volatility was very high. Anyway, our WAP, if compared to the Italian industry, -3%, -3.1% compared to -4.1%. In terms of breakdown by category, I would like just to highlight something that is, let's say, historical for our company. Lower exposure in terms of pure equity of our company, in terms of asset mix, total asset mix, and higher exposure in terms of flexible funds. Page eight. In this semester, the performance of the market, the recovery of the market, and the the strong performance of our portfolio managers brought us quite an interesting level of performance fees. We see it with the numbers, but we have also a significant amount of AUM demonstrated by the chart at the bottom of the page, a significant amount of AUM close to the historical high watermark for funds catching performance fees with this calculation methodology. 12.5 billion of assets are below 5% of distance. This is also made by, as I said before, by an important overperformance made by some of our important funds, in particular European equities, US and global equities, and absolute return strategies. Entering more into details in this respect, page 9, I would like just to highlight some of these funds that perform pretty well, like Anima Europa, with a 20-year track record that overperformed the benchmark significantly, like Anima Initiative Europa, a European small-cap fund that did very well as well. Page 10, again, U.S. equities. We are an Italian equity house, an Italian player, not equity house, but an Italian player. This fund is managed by the same PM since 2012 and was able also this year to outperform the index quite significantly. Anima Megatrend is a fund launched recently, a global fund, again able to provide an interesting overperformance if compared to the index. Last but not least, our absolute return strategies, in particular on the European sector, the high potential absolute return funds very actively managed. Sometimes we are maybe perceived as a company more passive in terms of asset management, while instead we are an active equity an active asset management with strong capabilities also in many different areas. This is one of the historical areas where we have strong capabilities in terms of asset management. In particular, in the last semester, the team has been able to overperform all the index European and to be one of the most quoted funds, absolute funds in the category. I will get into the numbers. Page 13. Our P&L, some highlight on the P&L. Looking at the comparison with H1 2019, on the net revenues, we registered a minus 2.6%. Then we'll get into it. Strong increase in terms of performance fees, total revenues up 14% if compared to last year, reaching almost 186 million euros. In terms of cost, we show a decrease if compared to last year, even taking into consideration an increase accrual for variable compensation also linked to performance fees. Of course, we have been able to save cost partially because some of the investment expected was postponed because of the impossibility to pursue it, but also because the company in this period and the uncertainty surrounding all the sector was very, very keen in keeping costs strictly under control. EBITDA up 20%, reaching almost 145 million euros. Net income plus 15%, report net income, adjusted net income plus 19%, 94 million euros, is compared to 79 million euros of last year. Looking at margins, page on the right side of the page, the margin decrease is attributable mainly to the absence of placement fees. Then we'll get back to it. Mainly due to the zeroing of the bank's activity in Q2 caused by the lockdown. Expense ratio reached the historical minimum at 4.5 bps over average AUM. Cost income, excluding performance fees, remaining stable, as I mentioned before, thanks to the flexibility of our variable cost base and to the strong attention paid by the company. Page 14, net fees Q-on-Q reduction, as I mentioned quickly before, is made by a minus $4 million in terms of lack of placement fees, lower administrative fees. Both of the items are mainly related to the zeroing of bank commercial activity. And then we have lower management fees that are coming from the decrease of assets end of March, and then that went through basically all the 3 months of the Q2. Personal expenses, this component broadly stable. We didn't stop the investments, the hirings we were doing on the research team and on our alternative project. We had to postpone some of the hirings, but we continue to continue the strategy. FTEs growing up to 312 if compared to 306 last year. Page 15, focus on fixed fees. As I said before, the Q2 decline on the fixed fees was made by a lower level of AUM at the beginning of the quarter. With the strong volatility on the markets and the decrease in the AUM was registered from 8th of March on. So we entered the new the trimester with a lower level of AUM if compared to the first trimester or the first quarter. Of course, most profitable asset classes were hit more by the negative market performance. Moreover, we saw more inflows into lower risk profile and lower fees products. As I mentioned, this is coming from a more conservative approach of clients and networks. At the end of Q2, total AUM is now 3 billion lower than the end of 2019. So we expect a certain level of recovery if compared to Q2 in Q3. Page 16, going more in depth in terms of placement fees. Placement fees are an item applied on target date funds, 3 to 5 years maturity of these funds, and basically consist of on the upfronting of the fees to be paid to the distributor during the life of the product, all in once at the beginning of the when the distributor is placing the product. Typically, Anima gets a small part of these placement fees in order to compensate product origination, structuring, and marketing. Placement fees, let's say the aim of these placement fees is to avoid entry fees, because if placement fees are applied, no subscription fees can be applied. You know, and to incentivize the holding period of the client who pays no entry fee but pays exit fee if he's not holding the product until the end of the expected life. Getting back to our income statement, as you can see on the right side of the page, Anima placement fees went down significantly during this quarter, and this was due by the absence of gross commercial activity by the banks, and this is the explanation of the drop of this item. Page 17, consolidated net financial position. The consolidated net financial position is increasing, and this is due by the payment of dividends in May, 73 million euros, plus the tax paid in June, 47 million euros. Of course, during the year, we will generate a month of cash in order to reduce further the net financial position. If you look at our gross exposure in terms of debt, during the quarter, we paid back 51 million euros of gross debt, 16 as a bond buyback, and 35 as a bank loan reduction. Page 19, retail flows. Just to get back and to look at the quarter in terms of flows, Q2 was a very peculiar quarter. We never experienced something like that since we are here. As we said already, probably during the call of May, we experienced a period where the commercial activity was almost closed for a long time period. And then now, when the banks reopened their branch and their activities fully end of June, we are seeing a quite conscious and a conservative approach by the client base. The branches are now almost entirely up and running. This approach of the client base is providing, let's say, results that are not in line with the potential of these branches, also considering the massive amount of liquidity sitting on deposits and kept there by the clients in order to see what will happen in the next few months. This massive amount of money is one of the, let's say, the feature that gives us a positive view on the medium term. Retail product development. What we have done in terms of product development in order to support the recovery, and what we are doing in order to support the recovery of the commercial activity. In Q2, we started successfully the distribution of Esalogo product range with 225 million euros collected on three new products: Global Equity Balanced and a PicPac Flexible Equity with exposure, equity exposure and corporate bonds exposure. We also launched three thematic funds that started the distribution since July. One new normal, an increasing equity exposure, so an accumulation of equity within a target date fund with an exposure to particular important sectors like healthcare, information technology, and new consumer preferences. And global healthcare, very similar to new normal 2025, but with a more global exposure, including emerging markets. And then a PicPac megatrend, where we have an accumulation plan embedded in target date with a flexible equity exposure. Page 21, closing remarks. As I mentioned more than once during this presentation, the environment is still an environment with a limited visibility. Even in a limited visibility, given also the strong performance of the company, we continue to see growth opportunities both in terms of both organically and in terms of potential external opportunities. Looking at the organic growth, in addition to what we said before in terms of product launches with risk-adjusted returns, we are also experiencing a renewed interest on certain flagship funds. As I mentioned before, we had some flagship performing very well, and this is something that we hope we will be able to exploit on the affluent private banking and institutional segments, and this is something where we are pushing a lot. Looking externally, the environment in terms of asset management sector, with low for longer rates environment, high competition and sector fragmentation. Moreover, COVID health emergency that probably affected some player more than other, we still believe put pressure towards a potential consolidation in all the segment of the sector. For what concerns Italy, there is one more element that is the banking industry undergoing relevant changes, and this may provide the potential opportunities that could be cashed by the group. I finished my presentation, so I remain fully available for your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Ciao Alessandro, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one, well, they are related to the final remarks, basically. So the first one is on the push on institutional mandates. Can you give us an idea what is the environment there, if there are potential opportunities? In the last conference call, you discussed about some postponement in decisions. So I was wondering if there are opportunities effectively to get new mandates, and if the profitability in general in the institutional segment is holding up or remains under pressure. The second question is on the banking consolidation after Intesa and UBI. In the past, you've been penalized because of the risk of banking consolidation. So I was wondering if this move, in your view, opens more opportunities or threats to your current and perspective banking partnership. And the third one is on the PIR and alternative PIR, if you can give us an outlook on what you're expecting in terms of potential from this kind of product.
Ciao Alberto, here I am. Well, first question on the institutional side. During the last call, I said, I mean, on demand, it is always difficult to make a forecast or assumption because typically are, let's say, something where you are in an auction or where you concur, and it's difficult to know when you will win. Anyway, as you saw probably by one of our last press release, we won a mandate of 500 million euros beginning of July that will enter in 3 months. So it will be this. We will see a part of it in net inflows in July, August, and September. For instance, this mandate is a quite large mandate with a typically institutional profitability, so lower if compared to our average profitability. Of course, still interesting in my opinion because this is managed fully exploiting our operating leverage. There is something more coming in. Difficult to say, but we are on the market every day in trying to catch this kind of potentials. And in the last 2 to 3 years, our presence in this segment increased quite significantly. But looking at institutional, where we are also pushing is the selling of our funds with institutional classes. This is fully driven by performances. As I mentioned, we have some product doing quite well, and so we hope we'll be able to push also on this segment where the profitability is more interesting, so less assets but more profitability. Banking consolidation. In February, we commented the transaction in Intesa UBI as neutral to positive for us. I confirm this view. Of course, Intesa, we always said, was a threat for us, and so Intesa is probably out of the table. UBI was a potential threat and a potential opportunity. Overall, let's say the scenario now looks better, in my opinion. We have a few Italian banks left for a consolidation play. Two of these banks are very important partners for Anima. In particular, BAMI is our main shareholder and main partner in terms of contribution to our assets and profitability. BAMI seems to be probably at the center of this consolidation game, and therefore I'm looking very positively at this situation. What will happen is very difficult to be understood, but in general I see it the scenario with many potential opportunities. PIR, we started the revamping of PIR, so we started remarketing the PIR the 20th of February, in the region of 20th of February. So basically we started and we stopped immediately, given the lockdown. Now we are restarting marketing proactively the product. As I was mentioning before, we are seeing in any case a quite conservative approach of the client base, so we still believe this product will be very important going forward, but we are not seeing yet strong flows incoming.
The next question is from Angeliki Bairaktari with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my questions. First of all, you mentioned on slide 19 that retail network productivity remains well below its potential. And you also mentioned that customers have taken a wait-and-see approach. So I was just wondering whether you could give us some color on what you've seen so far in the networks in July. And could those new products that you are launching help you recover and move towards a positive retail net flow in the second half, or is that too optimistic to expect that? And then could you give us some color on how your strategic partners have performed in the second quarter in terms of net flows? And which one of them do you think has the highest potential to grow organically going forward? Is it BAMI? Is it Monte? I would be interested in hearing your thoughts on this. One last question, with regards to the institutional market, have you seen any competition from non-Italian asset managers in your domestic market, effectively, you know, the large US players? Are they sort of undercutting prices in this market? And what is effectively your edge versus some of the larger peers operating in Italy? I am thinking that year to date we have seen a lot of flows towards passive, and that is not really one of your capabilities. So any thoughts on sort of where you see the trends going forward in the institutional market would be welcome. Thank you very much.
Right, here I am. Retail. First of all, the second quarter on the retail, we, as I mentioned at the beginning, we saw a weird dynamic because April and May, all the networks were basically closed. The gross activity went down to 10% of the normal activity, and we turned positive on the retail as Anima on April and May because the activity was both in terms of subscription and redemption was very close to zero, and we had accumulation plan still continuing to work, and so money entering automatically in our funds as net inflows. In June, banks reopened, let's say, smoothly their networks. What we saw a strong increase in turnover of portfolios. The effect was neutral to negative with no very important outflows, but no important inflows. We saw a situation depending on the network, some positive, some negative, but with small numbers. What we expect? We expect that if the situation, and we hope that the situation will become more stable, so people will have more visibility on what will happen. In Italy, every day on the newspaper, we read September, we don't know what will happen, will be potentially dramatic for the economy. People, I believe, is a little bit scared by the situation going forward, and they are, as I said before, in a way, on a wait-and-see position. If situation will come down, I believe that we can turn positive absolutely on the retail. Who has more potential of our partners? BPMI is our largest contributor, is largest in terms of number as a network. BPMI for sure is the partner where we expect to see more important numbers. Institutional. Well, Italy, the Italian market is probably the most open market in Europe, probably after U.K. 30% of the assets are held by foreigner, Americans, European. I mean, we have almost probably all the most important asset managers playing a role in the country. We are pretty used to competition since ever. What we play as our strength if compared to the Americans or to the other asset managers, we are in Italy, we are here, we have always been here, we know people, we perform pretty well, we provide a good service. We have always able to compete with these guys. We are continuing to raise money in this segment. We are happy for that, and this tells me that we are competitive if compared to all these guys. Looking at the passive, it depends from just to give you an idea, the mandates with pension funds, CASSE, etc., may vary in the region of, on average, 10 basis points profitability. We are not too far from our cost of the passive. Anyway, we also have a range of product, low tracking error, that we already have since quite a while, and we are also expanding in order to be able to provide additional services to our institutional client. I think that there is still space for an active management in this segment.
Thank you very much. If I may just follow up on the thread of passive to retail networks, I guess the argument has been until now that obviously networks don't want to distribute those because they can't get a retrocession fee. Do you see a long-term risk in terms of passive penetration, especially from maybe some new players, digital players, etc., or is Italy still very far away from that threat?
Italy seems still far away from that, from this threat, for sure. We don't have, I mean, last few days ago, we saw, I read Money Farm, that is probably one of the few players raising money without, let's say, physical contact in Italy. They reach 1.2 billion of assets, distributing assets between Italy, among Italy, UK, and Germany. There are no other relevant players in Italy as of today. So maybe we'll see changes in the future. We expect changes in the future, but for what is our observation point, the physical contact in order to manage investments is still one of the key drivers of this business. The technology is used by many distributors. Technology is used, but in order to help the relationship manager to sell the product. In terms of the rebates, say the RDR in UK and in Holland seems to me that is out of the table for the time being in the continental Europe. So it's something that as of today I don't see it as a threat.
Mr. Melzi-Deril, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much to all of you for attending our H1 conference call, and see you soon, and see you at the third quarter. Bye-bye.